A federal lawsuit alleges a Milwaukee principal physically and verbally abused a first-grade student because of the sexual orientation of his parents. It's Wednesday, March 27th, and this is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, the U.S. Department of Education is opening an investigation into a fellowship program for students of color at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And a $1,000 reward is being offered in the illegal shooting of a bald eagle in Dane County. Stay with us.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust, conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
A Milwaukee principal allegedly physically and verbally abused a first grade student because his parents are gay. Corrine Hess has more on a federal lawsuit being brought by the family.
According to the complaint, Kasango Kalumba told the student his parents would, quote, burn in hell and threatened to kill him if he told anybody about it. Kalumba was the boy's assistant principal at Milwaukee French Immersion School at the time of the alleged incidents. The complaint goes on to say the boy's parents sought help from Milwaukee Public School administrators and school board members. Instead of intervening, Kalumba was promoted. Two LGBTQ plus teachers and three families with LGBTQ plus parents reportedly left the school during that time. The boy's family also left the school district because of the harassment. MPS would not comment on the lawsuit. The family is seeking damages. Corrine Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Federal and local agencies have been working together for more than a year to come up with a comprehensive security plan for the Republican National Convention. This includes the area around Fiserv Forum, where extra security precautions like fencing and vehicle searches can be expected. John Bush is with the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. He addressed members of the Rotary Club of Milwaukee yesterday. He said his agency is also working on a contingency plan.
We are actively preparing for the what-ifs, and we're looking at the full spectrum of potential threats or things that could go wrong, and then developing plans on how we're going to respond to that.
He says people who live and work within the security perimeter will be able to get where they need to go, but it'll probably take more time. Residences and businesses can learn more at two different community information sessions on April 11th. The first climate-friendly food produced through a federal sustainability program is now shipping to consumers from western Wisconsin. Hope Kerwin has more.
U.S. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack visited Great River Milling in Fountain City on Tuesday to see their new climate-friendly rice products. The company is processing brown and white rice from Arkansas that's grown using half the amount of water typically needed. That also greatly reduces the amount of methane produced by a farm. It's the first consumer food produced under the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Partnerships for Climate Smart Commodities. Vilsack says the program is an opportunity to create a different narrative about American farms.
So you get a benefit environmentally, you get a benefit economically, and you also get the opportunity to create an image of American agriculture that is innovative and committed to sustainability.
The milling company says they hope to work with Wisconsin farmers on developing similar climate-friendly products. Hope Kerwin, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The U.S. Department of Education is opening an investigation into a fellowship program for students of color at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. As Sarah Lear reports, the federal inquiry comes in response to a complaint from a group that's targeted race-conscious programs across the country.
An anti-affirmative action group called the Equal Protection Project filed a complaint earlier this year. It alleges a fellowship program at the Madison campus violates the U.S. Constitution's Equal Protection Clause because it excludes white students. Archived information from the university's website says the Creando Comunidad program is available to undergraduates from historically underrepresented racial or ethnic groups. Participants get a $500 scholarship. They participate in mentorship meetings and carry out community service projects. The complaint cites last summer's U.S. Supreme Court decision, which found that race-based college admission programs violate the 14th Amendment. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A bald eagle has died after being illegally shot in Dane County. As Robert DeAndrea reports, it was also suffering from lead poisoning.
The bird was found unable to fly March 14th on private property. It was taken to Hoos Woods Raptor Center near Milton. Diane Muller is a wildlife rehabilitator and founder of the center. She says birds may be more likely to be harmed or injured after they've ingested lead. Eagles may feed on dead animals that have been shot with lead bullets, and some people leave behind remains after field dressing a deer.
But what they don't realize is they've used lead to shoot it, and it takes a piece of lead no bigger than a grain of rice to kill an eagle.
Rehabilitation experts say they would like to see hunters use alternatives to lead because of how easily it poisons wildlife. Shooting a bald eagle is a federal crime that can carry penalties of up to $100,000 and or a year in prison. Robert DeAndrea, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, we've got a story from Wisconsin Life about the relationship between two well-known advice columnists. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Mary Kate McCoy to tell us about a rivalry between the popular advice columnists Ann Landers and Abigail Van Buren.
Legendary advice columnist Ann Landers and Abigail Van Buren dished out wise and witty advice to millions of readers for more than half a century. The two were also twins and sometimes bitter rivals. But before they were famous, they lived in Eau Claire, Wisconsin for more than a decade. Dean Robbins brings you the story of the sisters who perhaps could have used some advice themselves.
Ann Landers and Abigail Van Buren were America's leading advice columnists from the 1950s into the 21st century. Dear Abby was the world's most widely syndicated newspaper column with 110 million readers. Ask Ann Landers wasn't far behind with 90 million. Each writer solved other people's problems, answering letters with homespun wisdom. However, their own problems with each other proved harder to solve. Ann and Abby became bitter professional rivals, but once upon a time, they were inseparable twin sisters, raising families a mile away from each other in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Born Pauline and Eppie Friedman in Sioux City, Iowa in 1918, they grew up doing everything together. They even had a double wedding in identical dresses and veils. In the 1940s, the twins moved to Eau Claire, where both of their husbands had jobs at the National Presto Appliance Company. Pauline and Eppie cut glamorous figures in their new community. They hosted elaborate parties, volunteered for local charities, and led parades in a Cadillac convertible. They also loved to watch the Eau Claire Bears baseball team at Carson Park, turning heads with their lacquered hairstyles. But by the end of their decade in Eau Claire, cracks appeared in the sisters' relationship. Pauline and her millionaire husband lived in a stately two-story, while Eppie and her poorer husband had a small two-bedroom that Pauline dubbed Peanut Place. They even began trading insults about each other's daughters. The stage was set for a blow-up, and it happened shortly after the twins left Eau Claire in 1954. First, Eppie took over the Ann Landers advice column at the Chicago Sun-Times. A mere 3 months later, Pauline jumped into the advice biz herself, starting Dear Abby under the pen name Abigail Van Buren at the San Francisco Chronicle. Eppie saw it as a hostile gesture, and the sisters stopped speaking. In 1958, a Life magazine article gave them a national platform for their quarrel. She wanted to be the first violin in the school orchestra, Pauline sneered, but I was. Eppy retorted, "She's just like a kid who beats a dog until somebody looks and then starts petting it." Ouch. The magazine declared it the most feverish female feud since Elizabeth sent Mary, Queen of Scots, to the chopping block. The dueling advice columnists reconciled in 1964, but hard feelings remained. In a 1979 TV appearance, Eppy claimed she never read Dear Abby. In a magazine interview 2 years later, Pauline mocked Eppy as envious and inferior. For good measure, she said her twin looked old. Ouch again. Eppy died in 2002 and Pauline in 2013, concluding the saga of Ann Landers versus Abigail Van Buren. You have to wonder if, at the end of their lives, they pined for the innocent pleasures of Eau Claire. Yes, both had become wildly successful since their time in Wisconsin, hailed as America's most influential women. But would they have traded all that to be back in Carson Park, arm in arm, blissfully cheering the Bears baseball team?
Dean Robbins is a journalist and author based in Madison. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Want to make sure you catch every Wisconsin Life story? Subscribe to our podcast. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I'm Mary Kate McCoy.
Interesting little piece of Wisconsin history there. That'll do it for this Wednesday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Bridget Bowden and Mallory Chang. We'll be in that podcast feed just like we always are, all reliable every single weekday morning. So just hit subscribe, sit back, relax, and wait until tomorrow. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.